Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
In this house, every pole is a goal.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay, my saying is kind of like you have to imagine this is a universe.
Oh, it's where, coming with instructions.
where no, like garden gnomes are alive. So it's like the Real Housewives of garden gnomes, okay?
Uh-huh.
If you're not getting it from gnome, you're going to go somewhere else. You hate me.
Okay.
All right. Well, the audience probably is also very freaked out about that because they haven't watched this episode in 5 years, 4 years.
And you're talking about gnomes.
And I'm talking about gnomes. But in this episode, Jen says, you know, if you're not getting it from home, you're going to get it from somewhere else. We'll get there in a minute.
Anyways,
this is Privileged Wings.
Hello. It's a podcast where we recap the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
That's in Utah.
And this season, we are diving back in the years into season one.
But first, darling, you must tell them your name or else they'll have no idea who's talking.
Oh, yes. I am Travis.
And I'm Tyler. And this is season one, episode, what is this?
I think we're on seven.
Yeah.
We've hit a little bit. I would call this the doldrums.
I feel like maybe what happened was, because this is season one, they crammed a bunch of stuff at the beginning to keep you hooked, to get you hooked.
Yeah.
And then I know there's more drama to come, but this episode and last episode were just a little bit lackluster.
Yeah. I still stand by what I said. Like, as far as watching it the first time, this would be more interesting because we don't know them yet.
True.
But on a rewatch, it's very dusty.
I think it's about to start picking up because we still have Jen's explosion at Sharif's party. There's another, like, Jen versus Meredith and Lisa at some point, I think. I think they go out of town or something. When does Jen set up doesn't she set up like a private shopping thing for Heather with the shoes or something like that?
That is the end of a season. I don't know if that was one or two.
I think it's the end of the season. I think there's a lot more to come, but basically we are a little bit in like a setup phase, even still.
A get to know you phase.
Yeah, very much so. Which is interesting. And there are a lot of things that I kind of like have forgotten. It was said in this episode that's going to be a catalyst for why Jen and Meredith get upset with each other. I'm not going to spoil it till we get there, but there is some information I forgot about. Let's just say that.
Well, before we jump into the episode, then, is there any other items to discuss? The Traitor's Corner, it's over, unfortunately.
Yes, we have Traitor's Corner. It is over. And what a dramatic end to a season.
Yeah.
If I was Andy Cohen, I would say, the dramatic end of an explosive season. Join me for the 18-part finale.
18-part. They really could have stretched it out, but the reunion.
Reunion.
Not that they needed to.
The reunion was kind of boring.
Okay, before we get to the reunion, we had the finale, which I was not surprised Phaedra didn't make it. I'm really proud. I say proud, like she's my child. I'm really surprised and impressed by how far she made it.
Yeah.
Given the circumstances she was put in. I'm not surprised that Kate got found out.
Except it's so stupid that Kate literally voted to end the game that she thought there were no traitors left when someone was murdered the night before.
Right. So obviously
everyone's like, huh, okay.
I'm giving her the
love. But Trishelle writing CT gagged me.
Yeah, that was a gag and a goop.
It made me
so bad that MJ got booted.
The thing is, if she just wrote CT, she would have won.
Yeah, but she had no idea the first time around.
But I do think maybe she was on the outs, so it's easy watching it from our perspective. But Trishelle had been suspecting CT for a minute, for a second there.
Yeah, but I just think was looking at it from her perspective, which was she didn't think any of them were really traitors, and if maybe she just voted the first one she liked the least.
That's probably true. And if I was in her shoes, who knows? I probably would have voted the same way because I hated that bitch.
Mm. And then the reunion, I was like, what is the point of this? Because they didn't really talk about anything significant. I'm glad Peppermint got to say what she said, but at the same time, it felt like they were kind of like allowing just a little bit of that, and they weren't really going to lean into it too much.
Yeah.
And then the only other thing I remember from it really was that they were like, why are you still mad, Phaedra and
John, Dan? Oh, yeah. Like Phaedra was mad at Dan.
Basically saying they were taking it too personally was just a game.
Well, MJ blocked them in real life.
Yeah,
so.
She's like, well, yeah.
I would too. That was rude. I mean, I will say people were saying, like, if you are a one of these people who plays games like this, it is kind of like cutthroat down to the end and one person wins the money. So, like, they're playing it through that lens instead of just like, oh, we get to share the money. It's like, no, the point is to get down to as few people as possible.
Yeah. They didn't cover it.
Okay, well. Pause. Does it smell like a sewage truck just spilled outside? Or is the dog farting?
The dog is farting.
Oh my god, it's nasty. Okay, we'll keep
Maybe
going.
Maybe it's all that peanut butter.
Okay, back to that. Yeah, I didn't really take too much from the reunion. I wish it was Alan that was hosting it. No offense to Andy, but I love Alan.
Yeah.
He was there for all of it. So why is it Andy?
Right.
I don't get it.
Also, let them yell at each other.
Also, it's not like Alan, like, I was thinking maybe it's because Alan can't film in the UK or in the US or whatever, but I'm like, no, he literally owns, like, property and bars here.
Yeah, that's not a thing.
So, I don't know. Do you have any other thoughts on that?
No.
Do you have any thoughts on Potomac, Miami, or Beverly Hills?
Potomac's so boring.
And also, I'm like, okay, Charisse went crazy, like screaming, and crying about something she was not involved in at all. I didn't get it. But at the same time, she wasn't trying to, like, she wasn't really trying to fix it, so I didn't really understand what was going on.
I don't know.
And then
I feel like she just started the conversation and realized she kind of opened a can of worms.
Yeah.
She didn't want like the constant chatter and fighting. She was like, I want to fix this. So she started something and then she was like, this is only going to make it worse. So she was trying to stop it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Nobody was listening to her. So she had to yell.
I feel like.
And they still didn't listen to her.
I honestly did not expect this, but Mia is kind of winning the season for me. She's kind of like on good-ish graces with everybody. Her and her Karen feuds are kind of funny. And then she's like having real self growth and like dealing with it.
Yeah.
Like I was not expecting that.
Look at that.
Like I was really happy with that Deborah sit down. Also when Deborah said she wouldn't hug her, I was like.
Not Deborah, Jacqueline.
Jacqueline. Who's Deborah?
Muppet.
Oh my God.
But I only said that because Candace said that.
Yeah, I know. Jacqueline, sorry. I just feel like. It's just funny because Jacqueline wouldn't hug her and then like Karen refused to hug her all season.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, and it was funny. She was talking mad shit before Mia got up there and then just went and sat down and talked to her and she's like, okay, we took a step.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Right, yeah, exactly. Jacqueline was talking shit.
It's like, yeah. Anyways.
Miami.
But yeah, they really have a cast issue. They've let it to get to a point like they need somebody on the cast that can rally the girls. And Karen used to do it a little bit, But there has to be somebody who is like the head. And
Karen's been trying, but it's not working.
Yeah. Because she doesn't engage too much anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, actually. That's my thought. But
okay, well, I talked about this on my other podcast, which, shameless plug, you guys should go listen to. It's called Culture, but spelled Q-U-L-T-U-R-E. And me and my other friend who watch Housewives and a bunch of other reality shows and scripted shows talk about everything we watch that week. So if you haven't gone over there, I have it linked in my Spotify, like, I want to say show notes, but I think it's like on the page, like on our page somehow. But either way, Culture, but spelled with a Q, Q-U-L-T-U-R-E. But this question was posed, and I want to pose it to you. Who should go home tonight and why? And by that, I mean, who do you want to kick off? Like, how do you see a future where we are fixed?
On Potomac.
Because I do think this season has been bad. Also, it's so weird that there's like 17 plus episodes, but like Beverly Hills and Salt Lake got less than that for such a bad season. I don't understand. So I think it's been talked about so much this season that something's got to change. So who do you think's going? Because it felt like this with Beverly Hills and they kicked off Rena. So I feel a big shakeup's coming.
No, but I think Rena left of her own choice. I think the kitchen got hot because of everything that happened. You know, she was always on the fence with people. Like, a lot of people liked her, but there's a lot of people who couldn't stand her. And then the whole thing happened after that season with Garcelle's son. And she was, remember, she did the thing with, and she was had butted heads with Kathy Hilton.
Yeah.
And I think she was just in it so much. I don't know why I believe this, but it was just like, basically, so many people had confirmed that she walked, that yeah. she left. But it Speaking was also of, good.
There's rumors Kathy's back next season.
Lord.
Just saying. Okay. So well, what would you change?
I don't more. I think, why is Robin here?
Robin
is not giving.
I like Candace, but here's what I think.
But can't.
Robin, Candace.
Let me get to.
Okay. Sorry. You're right.
Okay. I don't think Robin is giving. So
she's not.
And she's never really given.
And she 100% doesn't care.
I think Karen doesn't engage as much as she should, but she does give.
She's not leaving.
I think Giselle's also a linchpin.
She's not
I don't
leaving.
Think she needs to go.
Cried when her kids left somehow.
Well, that's a pivotal moment.
Exactly. And
also, you remember you've seen this. I mean, we didn't start at the beginning, but you've watched all the show. You've seen them since they were tiny little children.
Yeah.
Anyways. So, like, Mia is winning the season. She doesn't need to go. So I think there's a couple of options. Robin could just go regardless.
Agree. And Giselle don't even have that little bandit thing going on anymore, really. I mean, they always sit together at the table.
I think they're shying away from it.
But yeah.
But I think it's still there. I think Wendy is a could say could go for me. Because I don't think she's been herself since the first season.
Honestly.
She watched the first season and I think she was like, wow, I don't like that. And she's like, is very controlled on the show, even though she gets into fights, but I just mean her presentation of herself.
Agree.
But she could stay. You don't think so? I don't. NECA's not doing it for me. And the NECA-Wendy conflict is also not doing it
the
for me.
The only way through, and they should know this by now, is if they can come to an agreement at the reunion and agree to like clean slate it, her and NECA. That, otherwise, I think they're both gone.
Yeah. But Candace is really, even though Candace is good
has brought
television,
nothing this year at all. I'm sorry. Nothing. I don't give a fuck. You're on a show.
Yeah.
Like, I understand the whole Ashley Darby's husband suing you thing, so she and Ashley don't really talk. Everything else, I'm kind of like, you're just giving nothing at all. Go off, girl, give nothing.
Also,
what's her storyline this year? Like, what is it besides just yelling at everyone?
That she's not getting along.
That's a horrible storyline.
And that she's doing stuff with her tour.
Well, that was one episode.
Yeah, I know.
And yeah. I'm so mad because she never gave my mom her vinyl that my mom paid for. And it was supposed to be there by Christmas. And it never arrived.
It still hasn't come in.
It still hasn't come. And they got, my mom got some weird email that was like, sorry about the late order. We like think that there might have been like some kind of fraud on the card. So we'll give you your money back and you can order it again. Which tells me, you know, that tells me
they
never fulfilled the order.
Right.
So ta-ta.
Ta-ta. Yeah.
But and my mom's going to be very happy hearing all this.
Yeah.
Let's just say that.
Yeah. Let's say more.
She hates her.
I also think so, she kind of reminds me of, I don't know if Camille was this bad, but like certain Bravo ladies are a little too active on social media.
Yeah.
Versus how they are in real life. You have it. You can't like give different energy. And sometimes like how people behave in person and how they behave online are very different. And I think Candace might be one of those people.
Yeah. I like that they're getting these like other shows like Traitors and House of Villains. And I'm sure there will be more Girls Trip, things like that, where like there's not so much personal shit. Like I don't want Candace necessarily off my TV. I just don't think she should be on the show anymore.
Yeah, because the personal stuff is, if she can't let it go and she can't move on, then.
And she's nasty online.
Yeah.
So that's my hope. Candace will get cast on Traitors or something like that, and she'll be off of this.
Okay.
So, and I think I just realized all that right just now.
Bam. Okay, Miami was good.
Miami was good. I loved seeing Alexia, the bros, fight at the end. And that crazy rendition of Ave Maria.
Yeah, that was bizarre.
But that's what Housewives is.
Yeah.
That's what reunion should be, is bizarre. They haven't been bizarre in so long. Mm-hmm. I'm literally thinking, like, when I was rewatching Atlanta, and Kim Zolciak performs her song on the stage. Like, what a crazy moment.
Yeah.
And then Trey says, that's good. I like the beat.
You know,
I thought it was good. I like the beat.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Beverly Hills was a little bit of a boring episode, but I am excited for the reveal on if Kyle's gay or not. With Morgan.
Is it a reveal?
It's not going to be a reveal because she's not going to say it, but I want to know.
Yeah.
What she says.
Yeah. Okay, well let's go ahead and
jump in.
So we are opening the episode back at Park City Fashion Week.
Oh yes.
The inaugural, the first ever. I thought it was really funny at the beginning because I know Meredith is like putting her jewelry on one of these people yeah. working out. But didn't it just seem like she was just trying to look like she was doing it? She was like putting a bracelet on. She's like, don't you think I need something out? Like, I was like in front of the camera. I was like, are you just doing this to make it look like you're doing something?
Yeah.
You're just putting jewelry on. All this is predetermined.
Yeah.
I don't think you're deciding at the event what jewelry's going on who.
So. And no offense, but I don't think anyone was really there. Like, the crowd was just them and a couple other people.
I wasn't really paying attention to that.
I mean, it just felt like very much this is a show, quote, Fashion Week show, that is basically just put on by the Housewives. Like, it's like an event, like a production event, basically. Yeah. A shooting event.
I guess we should have looked up if it kept going.
Well, the whole Fashion Week, maybe, sure. But I mean, this particular one.
Yeah.
Like the Brooks one and the Meredith one.
Well, she's also talking about in her talking head about not wanting to live in Ohio. Oh, this is part of the reason why she has to be here, is because this is connections and networking. And for 1 week out of the year, people are in Utah. So she has to be in Salt Lake City.
You know, Park City, the cultural hub of Utah. What did she say last week?
Even though she spends most economical of her year in New York.
Right.
Yeah, anyways. But she doesn't want to live in Ohio.
What I want is someone to leak. Maybe this is too far.
Don't say it then.
Leak shit about her business and how much she pays in rent for that store versus how much money comes out of it. Uh-huh. Not online, not merch sales, jewelry and handbags.
Okay.
Because let's just say every time they show it, I feel like I see the same bags still on the shelves. That's not too far.
No.
And let's just say if Angie's saying there's cobwebs on it, you know what they say, where there's cobwebs, there's spiders.
Okay. Well, are you calling her a spider?
No. Like, where there's smoke, there's fire. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
If everybody else is saying it, I do feel kind of like, okay, the store is the only, her storyline.
Okay.
About her being in Utah.
Right.
For the show.
Exactly.
Meredith, if you're listening, we would love to have you on the podcast.
I don't really think she needs it. She just lives there when she needs, whatever. I don't know that it matters anymore, but I guess maybe it would set a weird precedence for other locations. But I'm sure like people in Beverly Hills don't spend their whole year in LA, you know?
No, they spend one Saturday per year in Salt Lake, and their stylist maybe buys them something from Meredith's store.
Okay. Anyways, so the other ladies are showing up to the event. Whitney is going to the back because she is going to be walking, as is Meredith. They're asking Mary how the shopping in Salt Lake City is. She says it's the Pits. Who the Pits. Knew? Mary's not excited to see Jen because the last time they talked, Jen had lied about the grandpa fucker comment.
But they don't even show them talk.
Right. Although she does sit down beside her.
She and I does. Would say
Mary always makes a good effort of trying to like move on.
In this season.
Exactly. We are discussing this particular season. So we have the show happening. Whitney walks. Everybody seems really supportive of that. That she was fierce. Do you think she was fierce?
Sure. She looks good.
Meredith also, walked. The whole thing, the skirt under the sheer thing was very bizarre to me. It looked like it looked like bad underwear. I'm not sure what's happening there. And she was also giving the shoulder swag when she was walking. Did you notice that?
No.
Whitney kind of walked mostly normal, but Meredith was giving a little sway.
Was she giving, what's her name on New York?
No, nobody will ever be as...
Who was that?
Ramona,
duh. She looks so crazy in that clip. It doesn't even look like her.
And she walked fast. That's a wild bit of reality TV history that we should be grateful exists. And maybe it should only happen like once every 10 years. So maybe it'll happen again, but I don't know.
I stand by this. I think that boat ride in Miami is going to go down in history. I think it's going to be the next beast. Oh, let's not talk about the husband. I think it's literally going to be that.
Yeah.
Because
that enough people have seen it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, maybe not right now, but give it 10 years. And if TikTok is still around, it's going to go crazy.
Yeah. If you haven't watched Real Housewives of Miami, that scene alone is they're in Mexico City. They're on
the painted gondola.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Which Mexico City was built on top of the old Aztec city, which had a lot of canals for their agriculture purposes. Well, it was all on a lake also. Mm-hmm. And so you can rent these boats that are kind of like wide and flat. They almost look like thin pontoon boats that they push with sticks like gondolas. And just so much was happening on this. Like one cast member has cancer and is going through emotional distress.
And starts throwing up.
And she's going
after they all fight.
Right. They're fighting. One has been like going through a divorce, and it's everything she talks about is her divorce and how like everybody's just over it.
I'm sure our listeners watch.
She insults the other person who grew up in Haiti because she grew up poor, but she was making derogatory comments basically about poverty.
There were dogs on the side of the canal. She was throwing chicken at them, and then they were all like, don't throw things for the dogs. And she said, I'm sure it's the best meal they're going to get all week. Which then sets the girl from Haiti off, Kiki.
And then she stands up
rightfully
and they're fighting.
So. It's going to set everybody off.
She throws apple juice box at her. Then they pass an island.
Then she says, that's assault!
That has a bunch of dolls hanging from it. Like thousands of these creepy dolls just hanging from it. And one of the cast members had a son back in the day who died. And so she can't look at it, and she's crying, and other people crying from being scared.
But then then two of the customers forced them to stop on the doll island because they had to pee.
Because they had to pee so bad. And so they're just sitting there One girl's been vomiting. Three of them are just weeping. The other one's like, oh, wow, that's crazy. And it's just, it's so chaotic.
Yes.
It's wild. Anyways, please go and watch that. Even if you don't watch the show, it's worth your time.
Third to last regular season episode, I think.
Yeah.
Not reunion.
Anyways. Okay. So then now we get to
this episode's literally just us talking about other housewives because nothing happens.
I know, right?
We get to the iconic Brooks Marks fashion show.
Yeah. That's where he parades his singular
tracksuit.
Yeah. Tracksuit out. You know, in hindsight, giving it some second thought, for if this wasn't the only thing that was shown. I don't know how many people were walking this particular event. Like, we know at least the person Meredith worked with and Brooks did. So I don't know if there's anybody else. But for the audience, for him to come out and walk it around one time, and they had other things to look at, it's not as bad as the first time I watched this. I was like, this is so bad.
No, it's bad. He literally says, bad. I'm so honored to be able to show my first collection.
It is not a collection. It is not. Brooksy, we can't say that. It is a singular design. And
here's what it should have been. Mm-hmm. Meredith has her little fashion show. Brooks has a booth selling his merch.
Yeah.
Like also, something like that.
So, I mean, I'm sure he was nervous, but he just looked so severe.
Well, he's serving quaint, darling.
It wasn't quaint.
It wasn't quaint?
It was bowel distress.
Oh! Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a bad way. He just looked nervous. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to like...
He's 21 and it's his first collection.
Yeah, anyways. So we're not going to spend too much time on that. It is what it is.
I did think, like, Jen was like, I don't know if one tracksuit is a whole collection, but it does look nice and I wear it all the time. So she was at least kind of trying. Yeah.
But did point out the obvious.
But obviously we know that later on she tweets nasty things about it. So,
well, that's because they were already beefing over the vagina.
True. The vagina.
The vagina. The vagina.
The vagina mama.
The hoo-ha mama. Okay. And so
kind of like your vagina mama.
Ew, ew, ew. So afterwards, Brooks and his mother, Meredith, are sitting down and they FaceTime Seth's daddy.
Yeah.
And of course, Seth, as many straight men do, are obtuse and don't give you what you want from them.
Yeah.
Which is to say he didn't say any of the things he should have said to his child. But I did think...
Brooks served quaint here.
Was serving quaint in that he was a good communicator in addressing and saying, you're not being a good dad.
And good TV, honestly.
Truly. Okay, he let him have it.
Said, you weren't there for me and that's not okay and you're not being a good dad.
And when he wasn't saying what he should have been saying, he told him what he should have been saying.
And then said...
So not only was he communicating well for himself, he was communicating well for his father.
Yeah. Who he was said not something else cream. And basically Seth was like... Seth started saying something else, and Brooks basically was like, what you're supposed to say is, how was the fashion show?
Yeah.
Think about that.
Think about
you
that.
Cry alone in Ohio, dad.
He hit him so hard, he was giving him anxiety, honey. He said? Yeah. Remember he said, this conversation is giving me anxiety. That's how hard Brooks was on his heels, honey. Although, didn't you notice how Seth was holding the phone when he was FaceTiming? Like, it was like this. It looked like he was like leaning back, like holding himself up with his core.
He said, gotta get them angles. He said you're not the only one.
I was just very distracted by it. You didn't notice it?
No.
It was just... All right, well, that was that.
Full transparency, I was drawing.
Oh, doodling. That's right.
It's not doodling. I was drawing a design for my aunt.
A design, mama. Okay. Next, we have a montage, a little family montage of the ladies, some of the ladies. We get to see Lisa at a booze meeting with some man. She has a bottle of Vita. It's got a sparkle cap on it.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's kosher. Who knew?
Is it most alcohol kosher?
I was like, I don't think it. Yeah.
I went to a vegan beer and food festival, and then it was just like, I was like, isn't all beer vegan? And the person was like, yeah.
Right.
So okay. It was just an excuse to have beer there, basically.
Mm-hmm. Then we get to see Brooks drinking grapefruit juice out of a grapefruit with a straw because it burns fat. Meredith is like, you need to go back to school, bitch.
We know that doesn't happen.
Yeah. And then we get to see Mary chiding her child for not texting her something.
He was just to come home that night and didn't come home till 6 a.m. Eh. That's what it was.
Yeah. But he's an adult, right?
No, he's like 18. Mm. He's still in high school.
Okay, right. See, there you go.
She was just like, we have a much better relationship than that, don't we? And I was like, so you're just saying this because you're on camera.
Yeah, and then she hugs him.
Clearly you don't. If I came home, if I didn't come home by like midnight, my mom would like have the police out looking for me.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
In high school, not right now. I'm an adult now. I'm feeling crazy.
You're an awkward girl, though. So then after that, we have Meredith also with her family. Actually, no, sorry.
No.
This is Meredith at work. Said she's also pretending to do something at work.
Exactly.
As she sits on the counter and they're like, we have all these things scheduled. Like, look at this Botox. And she's like,
oh my God.
I'm like, yes, this is not doing anything for anybody. And you're just pretending like you know what's going on.
Where you're just playing doll in a store.
Basically. Whitney shows up to get some sort of facial thing happening
at Beauty Lab.
And laser. And Heather gets to is telling her while she's getting this facial that she's, you know, was living, because she asked her how it all came about. Quite coincidentally, not for kids.
Quite coincidentally with my husband's money.
Yeah. So Heather can live off the divorce settlement. She doesn't need to work because her ex does provide for the family and the children. So anything she did on the side was gravy. So she started this Instagram Botox business. Don't ask how that works because I have no idea.
This is what I think it is. She started Beauty Lab, and what she was saying was basically we didn't have to do any
marketing
because she's good at Instagram.
No, but she said they started on Instagram and that they had some Botoxing on Instagram. I don't remember. I don't know. But I don't.
They had
get
to
it.
Have had like a storefront of some kind.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe it exploded into Beauty Lab, and at the time it was just Botox. But she is saying, like, they got their popularity through Instagram.
Yeah. That's what I was saying.
I know, but I don't think it's, like, she just got on her Instagram stories and was like, I have a tube of Botox. I have a syringe. She wants to come over.
Anyways, she was doing something, girl, with Botox and Instagram.
Which props to you, mama, because honestly, mama. Social media is hard.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
That's the tea. Then they start talking about Whitney's dad. Also, I noted, or did you think about her new wig and the ponytail wig in the confessional? I think she showed up last episode, but it's very, what did you think of it?
This is what I think is the problem on this season with her wig squad. Somehow they make her look like she's balding, which is the literal opposite of what you want a wig to do. But like the way that they pull it back and try to make it look natural on her forehead, it gives her, what are these called? What's this part?
Widow peaks.
Widow's peak?
Mm-hmm.
Like the part of the top right and left of your head. Somehow the wig like went up and above where it should have gone. So I don't understand. Or maybe like that's where her natural hairline is. But like if you're wearing a wig, fix the hairline. You know what I mean? Like if you're wearing a wig, then the point is to like look good. But the hairline looked crazy.
Yeah, it's like when Karen used to have her wig settings so far back.
Yeah, exactly. It makes Whitney's forehead look huge.
Yeah,
both the wigs. So I think that's where. Aside from the fact that it's like not really glued down and you can see the line, the hairline itself placement makes her look bald somehow.
Yeah. I guess I didn't talk about her dad that much because the next thing I noted was that her family. So Heather's family, she feels, is uncomfortable that she doesn't have a spouse. So she's just talking about her.
Yeah.
Now she's talking about her divorce and how it has impacted her life. She does equate her divorce to drug addiction a little bit in that.
All they talk about with Whitney's dad is Whitney says he's in sober living. I'm really proud of him. which later in the episode we see.
And they were saying changes. That, yeah, and they were saying that they don't see drug addiction as a mental, like an actual illness. It's more of a choice. And the things that happen because of it are your consequences of your choices. That's how Mormons view it.
Yeah, in the church. Mm-hmm.
And so she was saying the same, they kind of think the same way about divorce, is that you chose to get divorced and the consequences of that are your, you know, or was what you get.
Yeah.
Which is not fair because some people are in unhealthy situations. Yeah. Some people, in Heather's case, she didn't want a divorce. Divorced her. But her family's still uncomfortable that she doesn't have a spouse. And it's not fair as well, because even though her ex was the one that divorced her, he doesn't have like any sort of shadow on him as far as the church goes. It's just her.
Yeah.
And she feels pressure to kind of keep up this.
Pointing out the sexism in the Mormon church once again, basically.
Yeah. In most.
In most religions, yes.
Or at least Western culture religions, anyways.
I mean, yeah, obviously that's a generalization statement, but.
And I think the shadow that's on her, like from the church, made her feel more pressure to kind of keep up as much of a facade as she could so that her kids, you know, didn't have any more of like the shame, which is why she doesn't date normally, because she doesn't want to make things hurt on her kids.
Well, yeah. And these kids are Gen Z, though. They know what's up.
T. And then Whitney is saying that they all kind of still live under the, even though they're not, they've gone through these things, you're still under the thumb of, or at least Heather's still under the thumb of the church, because they're still controlling her life to some degree. This was interesting. I mean, I don't know, especially at the time we watched this, I didn't know much about Mormons.
At the time, yeah.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Now, it's like we've heard the same storyline 80 times.
Yeah, exactly.
From Heather.
It is. Yes. Was that personal growth, honey?
I mean, she has personal growth.
I know.
But I just mean, obviously, this is a big part of her life. At the time, we were coming into this, like, not really knowing that much about Mormonism. But now, we're practically experts.
Right. Well, not really, but. Next, we're going to Jen. And we get her little sad story. It actually is a little sad. I'm just hard on her because she's a criminal.
Is this one? Who's she talking with?
So this is more of just herself. The scene starts off with her. She's in the bathroom, remember, with her, whatever that person wants, squad member.
Okay.
Maybe, who knows? And she's taking her anxiety and depression medication. And she's basically saying that, like, when her dad died, it was, like, very hard on her.
She almost got divorced.
Yes, because she was, like, her emotions were all over the place. She was having outbursts of anger, which almost cost her marriage. And Sharif was, you know, during this time had originally said that she needed to pray and get her mind right. But after a period of time, she realized like that wasn't going
to
happen.
He basically didn't want her to take medication because he thought that that was like a cop out.
Right. Which is kind of like a familiar view of older, like Gen Xers.
View of medication.
Yeah. Mental health.
Yeah. But then she started taking it, and her kids basically were like, please take it.
Yeah, for the love of God. She does call Sharif during the scene, telling him, like, basically she leans on Sharif when she's feeling a certain type of way for support, pep talks. She's feeling grumpy. She gives him a call.
Which is kind of sad to see, because we know he's not really there that often.
I think she does it in part because it gives her an excuse to talk to him, because she's lonely.
Yeah, but I just mean it's like she clearly needs this from him, and he's never around.
Exactly.
Or feels like she needs this from him.
Which I thought it was really funny because he was the one that said she needed to pray and get her mind right. That she started as soon as she said she was grumpy, he said, well, you need to take your medicine.
Yeah. He's come a long way, apparently. Oh, yeah.
And then we go to Lisa, and they're also having a family moment. You know, she's got the kids, and they're doing a family, like,
goal setting. Okay, this was the highlight of the episode, honestly.
They were having a goal-setting ceremony, if you will. They had little whiteboards. This is her type of night, because she's not a normal mom. Okay,
I'm not a normal mom. I make my kids write their goals.
Right. So we have Jack's
on TV.
Goals. Right, right, exactly.
Fudge college, honestly.
Get a license, get shredded, and be a lady slayer.
Yes.
He is 15. Even though he does not look at... keep forgetting he's that old because he looks like he's... I mean, he went from looking like 12 to like normal.
He's in that stage, you know? Yeah, yeah. He's like about to turn old looking.
old looking.
Okay, it's like my little brother Buck. It's like when I think his was a little earlier than this, but like it's like 1 second I left. Like he left a trip that he came to visit us on. Then I saw him 6 months later and he's like a different person.
His voice really did drop.
And he grew like 10 inches taller, I would say.
Yeah. Then Henry goes and his goals are to have his first kiss, but 15, not now at 15. He also wants to have triplets.
Does that mean cackling?
And meet Post Malone.
He said some other normal ones too. It was like, I want to get all A's. I want to have friends at school. I want triplets. Like, yeah. So funny.
I just, why triplets though? It's just, maybe he's just fascinated with the idea.
It's just hilarious. It's like my little brother, Jake. He's going to kill me, but he just also is. When we were younger, everyone would ask, like, what do you want to be when you grow up or whatever? And one time we would go to parades a lot when we were younger for some reason. And, you know, like, there's a lot of horses, and then there's always, like, a little guy running around scooping up the poop afterward. So we called them the pooper scoopers.
Oh.
But then Jake was always like, how come all the pooper scoopers are skinny? Like, they're all so skinny. And so then he was like, when people would ask him, what do you want to be when you grow up? He would say, I'm going to be a fat pooper scooper. This is when we were really little, obviously.
I did not see where that was going. I thought you were going to say, like, he wanted to be a pooper scooper so he could be skinnier or something.
No.
He's like, specifically.
He's like, I'm going to break the norm, break the mold.
A fat pooper scooper. Oh my God.
It was giving that energy. Like, just a kid who heard the term, like, what the heck? People can have three babies at the same time? I'm going to do that.
That's so dumb. Okay. John gave his, and I did not write any of them down. They had something to do with business. And I don't know. Then Lisa goes, and she talked so long about being a better listener.
Yeah.
But she also was talking about how she wants to work more. No, she started off by saying she wanted to expand her businesses.
Yeah.
But then was like, I need to be a better listener because I work so much, I don't listen. But you just said you wanted to expand how much you work.
And then 2 seconds later, John comes in the room and is like, we should talk. And she's on her phone and ignores him completely. And he says, I want you to not be on your phone so much. She's like, oh yeah, totally. Just 1 second. I need to send this text or whatever. She's like, it's just something urgent came through. And I was like, so you don't want to listen, actually.
Right. Which John knows. He says there's a difference between hearing and listening or something
like that. He obviously knows she's like that. Like,
I did feel bad for him though, because at the end, because I was like, she's actually being a little crazy. Because, and he said, you know, maybe like, you need to say no to like certain things. And she kind of, I think it looked like she worked herself up. Like at first she was like, no, I'll know when to say no. And then she's like, actually, fuck you for saying
that. Yeah.
she didn't say that, obviously.
Yeah.
But she was like, how dare you say that to me? How dare you speak those words to me? I know who I am. I'll say no. I'll do what I want.
Yeah.
I'm going to do what I want. Don't you tell me no. It sounds a little familiar for me. Because I get that way when I like somebody's.
Wait a damn minute, actually.
Somebody starts to tell me what to do. I'm like, shut the fuck up. Actually, I'll burn this bitch down.
No. Actually, no.
Yeah. Anyways.
You better put that microphone up to that boy's little purring mouth. He's being so cute. I feel like we used to have so much animal things on this podcast. And then like we moved to a bigger place and we got like microphones that go right up to our face. And they don't hear them as much.
Yeah. They probably appreciate
it. But he's being very sweet.
Yeah. So anyways, the next scene we have is a dinner with Jen, Heather, and Meredith.
Yes.
An interesting pairing.
I feel like literally the whole point of this scene, it's so short, is just Jen kind of wanting to grill Meredith about her relationship and why it's going down or whatever.
Yes. She's being very political and withholding information from everybody else.
Apparently, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so they want to get to the bottom of it.
But they don't.
They do not.
But Jen In her confessional at this point, what does she say? Something like, let's just say, like, I think there's more to the story.
Right. Because she already knows what she says later. But Jen, and I thought it was smart. Jen starts talking about her own personal issues about being lonely to kind of help Meredith open up. And Meredith does say the big issue is that they have an issue. They need to learn how to communicate with each other, mm-hmm. which is very generic. And I don't think the actual problem. So I think she's just telling them something that they want to hear.
Yeah. I mean, that's like a classic thing to say.
And Jen doesn't believe her because she's heard more.
Exactly.
Then we go to Whitney with her dad and kids at the trampoline place. And this was, you know, this was short and kind of fine, except for,
I mean, it's,
hold on. The main issue here is that Whitney is saying how proud she is of her dad and that she feels like he's being a dad and a grandpa, not a burden and a problem.
Yeah.
And he responds by saying that he, in fact, does not need to complete his 90-day program, that after 21 days, he is, in fact, good healed. To go, and he should leave.
According to his therapist.
I'm putting quote.
Yeah, air quotes.
Yeah.
So he says. Yeah. And the second he says that, you see her face drop.
Yeah. And a little squinty eyes to him.
She's like, oh.
And they did they put the sound in when she did it, the squinties. It was like, mm-hmm. So obviously we already
know. I feel bad. I feel like he's lying. She knows he's lying. And
she was just expressing how she felt good about him being on this path.
Yeah, in this program.
The only thing he says is how he's
going to quit the program.
Right, basically.
I'm sorry, you can do anything for 3 weeks.
Well, and he's saying how strong he is. And I'm like, okay, if you're strong, you can make it 90 days.
Yeah, exactly. You're basically saying you don't want to be in a place anymore. You're lying because you want to. I mean, if I was assuming,
yeah.
You don't want to be in a place where you can't do drugs anymore.
Right. So that's sad. Then we go to Heather. Now, Heather is following up on what she discussed with Whitney at Beauty Lab previously, and she's having the difficult conversations with her children.
Yeah.
And she just wants to out herself to them about how she wants to basically not be Mormon. She wants to drink. She wants to date. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And
they're like, go off, sis.
Right. Her kids, not surprisingly to us, are very supportive. I think she was probably already, like, not being as...
I mean, she kind of already had this mini conversation with them already this season.
I think people forget how, like, kids are... Their brains are growing. They don't have as much to do, and they're very observant. Like, they always know more than you think that they do.
True.
And I'm sure they had already picked up on most, if not all of those already. But they just hadn't had the conversation. And I thought this was very healthy of her to do. And it was good for the kids to be involved.
Yeah.
Obviously, they gave their blessing so much as we saw. And she feels like she can now be the mom she wants to be and not the mom the church wants her to be.
Yeah.
So kudos.
Who I am today.
I think this is part of the reason why people really liked Heather the first season too. I mean, she did seem more genuine, but also like she was having these sort of real moments.
But she still has them with the kids, but now like them getting bullied because of her book.
Right. Which is still, I mean, they're still genuine moments. I just feel like, yeah, she doesn't talk about her personal life as much anymore, which I think is a hindrance to her success on the show.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. And then for our final scene, we are with Whitney again. And this scene is Jen is coming over to her house. They're doing a little pole dancing, which Whitney's very good at.
She's so good at it.
I know.
This is with such ease. She also it's kind of sad to me to see her like put so much probably money into this glam looks for her confessionals when she just looks better just working out and like mm-hmm. like she looks like flawless almost, and then she paid these people to like put her in like almost like wedding drag.
Yeah.
And like it just like she's obviously gotten better ones over the years, but right, just right. Like it's so weird to see like how great she looks in just this like basement setting.
Yeah, versus the, like, leather her looking pants
and the like second up. They like cut to confessional.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my god.
Whoa. And so they do. Jen tries a little bit. She's not very good. I don't mind. I mean, obviously, you have to have upper body strength, and I'm like, I don't mind that she's not good.
I don't mind. I mean, you hate to see it, but
yeah. Also, if you don't spin a lot, as you like, apparently this is a thing you can get back. But if you don't practice, if you don't move enough, if you don't spin around enough or move your head fast enough, you just get like dizzy faster, and it makes you like more nauseous.
Oh,
so if you're so Whitney is used to spinning around on a pole, but like if you're Jen is like in her what like late 40s, early 50s. And not used to spinning.
And everyone knows when you hit 50, can't spin anymore.
No.
No more spinning.
So anyways.
I always see people who are like ice skaters and they spin like 80 million times. I'm like, how did you do that?
Yeah. You just get used to it. But so basically the meat and potatoes of this particular interaction is that Jen brings up Seth and Meredith and insinuates that she knows that Meredith is in fact sleeping around.
Yeah.
I thought
let's just say if you're not getting it from Gnome,
yeah,
you're getting it from somewhere else.
Which I thought this was self-incriminating because she started off this conversation. They started this conversation with Whitney saying, how are you doing with Sharif being gone so often? And then she says, well, she has a Hitachi wand with which to fix things. How oomst ever.
Oomst.
Meredith could be doing the same thing. So why?
Exactly, yeah.
Why is it that if she's not getting it from Seth, she's going to be getting it from somebody else? And you're not getting it from Sharif. Where are you getting it from?
The guy at the other end of that Uber. I feel like we have
a little projection happening.
The guy at the other end of that Uber.
Oh, yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah, we're thinking about it.
I was actually thinking about it the whole time. I was like, oh, yeah, that's probably where those rumors come from.
Right. And all this to say is that Jen has her suspicions because prior to the season,
this is the bombshell I forgot about.
Yeah, when they were doing, I don't know, they did a bunch of stuff like 6 months before. Jen had gone to New York City specifically for a trunk show that Meredith was having. There was another man there who said he loved Meredith and that he was going to marry Meredith.
Right.
And that at the end of the night, he took Meredith up to her room.
Yes.
Which was all very sus. And it is sus.
It is sus.
Assuming
it's true, mm-hmm. coming from the biggest liar, criminal.
Right. The fraudster herself.
Of TV. But my other thought is like, I almost feel like people are just kind of, like guys, especially like older guys, are just flirty. Like they might just say weird shit like that.
Yeah. It's possible that it wasn't. Anything. However,
like, I love this girl. I'm gonna marry her, and then Jen's like, she's a husband, and he probably was like, I know that's the one flaw or something like. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. There's also the fucked half New York rumor, but right. I mean, maybe another Weather Stalker's fire. But I just feel like it's possible.
I think I remember thinking then that what I had thought happened was they were separated. And I think that they were both seeing other people during some part of this relationship issues. And they just don't want to talk about it on TV
because
it's messy. It would be messy to talk about that because that gets into like a lot of other conversations.
Because if they're eventually going to come to a term or
and they're both hinting at like how much they like each other and want to stay together. They just have other issues. And maybe those other issues came out of the fact that they were. Who knows?
Yeah.
So. But especially since they spend so much time apart, I mean, it wouldn't be shocking that they had had some arrangement.
Yeah, definitely.
So, well, that is the end of the episode. And we get a next time on, which we see Lisa and John still arguing about work stuff. There's a snowmobile.
Someone falls off the snowmobile.
Seth and Meredith are talking about the relationship again.
Yeah.
So
lots to look forward to next week. Let's just say that. All right. Well, you have any other final words of wisdom?
Hell no.
All right. Why don't you say we get the hell out of here?
Fuck out of here.
Why don't you say, I'm going to marry that guy right there. I'm going to walk him out to his room.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm saying. All right. Let's get out of here. We got some queer trivia to go to.
Let's say that. Let's say more.
Say that. And I'm saying
let's say less.
We do have to go to queer trivia. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate us 5 stars for the love of God.
You can Venmo us $5,000.
That'd be crazy. I mean, unless. No, please rate us on wherever you're listening. Subscribe or follow wherever you're listening. I do have an Instagram. Basically, I just put up a little graphic each week of the episode title, and it's just a forum for you guys to talk to me and Travis about your feelings about that week's episode. Again, I also do have a new podcast called Culture, Q-U-L-T-U-R-E. You can find that wherever you find podcasts. And it's about TV. Who would have thought it's about TV and movies? So if you probably listen to this podcast, you probably watch the same shows I'm talking about over there. So check that out. And we really appreciate you guys listening. This has been Privileged Twinks. I'm Tyler.
And I'm Travis.
Thank you so much.
Goodbye.